7 weeks out from Election Day. How about that? No one knows more about what's happening on that front. And, of course, the other news items around Kansas City this morning than our pal Mike Mahoney, Channel 9, KMBC. Michael, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm grand, Pete. Good morning. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Always good to have you on there, Michael. Hey, I want to start off with the Kansas governor's race. Obviously, a lot of juice around that right now. You had Ron DeSantis here over the weekend on behalf of Derek Schmidt. How would you – it feels to me like Schmidt is kind of finding his voice and gaining some momentum against Governor Kelly. It feels like maybe she's playing a little bit more defense than she was even a couple of weeks ago. How do you read it?
I think it's still a close race, Pete.
Yes.
I think Schmidt's in a nice position, certainly for a challenger on this. As we noted a couple of weeks ago, I'm trying to remember if we've talked since then, I thought Kelly had a pretty good debate, actually, at the state fair, and I love that format as well. Going forward on this, and you mentioned it's 7 weeks, and we're in the stretch here, I think this race is still up for grabs, but it remains a red year, I believe, and that for a Republican candidate in Kansas certainly helps, no question.
Do you think, I mean, I keep wondering if this Brownback stuff that, you know, Congresswoman Davids is using as well, how effective that's going to be since we're going on, I mean, geez, almost not quite 10 years, but almost 10 years since the guy's been in office. How effective do you think that ultimately is to most voters, especially knowing, like, you know, how many people in Johnson County alone are new to the state, new to the region, weren't even here when Brownback was governor?
All fair points. The shelf life of a former governor is rapidly erode. However, at the same time, both you and I know that most folks who vote are older, probably over 40, and they would be people that do remember the Brownback years. But you're right. It's been nearly a decade since he was in office, and there are going to be new voters, especially in a place as transient as Johnson County, are not going to be familiar with the Brownback experiment or his term in office. But Democrats believe that there are voters in Kansas and voters skew older that are going to remember that. They think it's a good attack.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Because, again, like I said at the start of the remark here, the shelf life of a former governor is pretty short.
What about the 3rd District, Michael? Amanda Atkins and Sharice Davids. I don't know if they have any debates specifically mapped out yet. I mean, it's a problem across politics all over the country. Less and less debates are happening. I think it's bad for the voter. But it feels like that is kind of taking a back seat right now to the governor's race, as you would expect. But what do you see that one, and how do you see that one playing out today as we sit here 7 weeks out?
I'm not sure. I agree with you. I'm not sure that there's going to be a debate in the 3rd District race, and I think that's really unfortunate. If you go back to when Sharice Davids first ran against Republican incumbent Kevin Yoder, Yoder, who was behind and was carrying the Donald Trump baggage in that election, was screaming for a debate throughout the campaign, and they finally got a sort of backhanded debate a few days before the election, and it was on a small platform, and I don't know that many people saw it. I think as a result of what happened on what I'm calling the Kansas effect from value that vote, I think Sharice Davids is going to benefit from that. It's always tough to take out an incumbent and rematch races such as this one, because Atkins and Davids faced each other 2 years ago, are always difficult for the challenger, and rarely do challengers win rematch races. But again, as I said during the little discussion here about the governor's race, it is going to be a red year, but the 3rd District is purple, and probably still is, even with redistricting. I mean, during the trial, they were suggesting that David still has a 65% chance to win in a reconfigured 3rd District that lops off part of her base in Wyandotte County.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be difficult. Again, it's going to be a red year, but the Kansas 3rd is still probably a purple district, certainly the most purple-ish district in Kansas, no question.
Yeah, that certainly seems to be the case. Now, you know, as you noted, all those things are, it's a much better position for Amanda Atkins than it was 2 years ago. The environment, not having a serious primary, all these different things certainly help her. So it's going to be interesting to watch that play out. Now, on the Missouri...
The other thing to mention on this, Pete, I'm sorry to interrupt you, is it's been real clear for a while that the Atkins campaign strategy is to nationalize this race. So she's running on immigration. She is running on the economy. That's been the playbook for her since the campaign started.
Yeah, as it should be, just from what makes sense politically for her. So Missouri side, you know, it's interesting, Michael. Primary season was all about Missouri leading up to August, that Senate race. There was no serious primary to talk about on the Kansas side. Now it's shifted in the general, more interest in Kansas. So Missouri, you've got this Senate race. Speaking of debates, it doesn't look like Eric Schmidt and Trudy Bush Valentine in that Senate race are ever going to debate. Another disappointment. Where's the intrigue? Is the most intriguing thing to you in Missouri? Is it the recreational marijuana? Is it the KCPD funding? Or is it still the Senate race? I mean, what's the most compelling storyline on the Missouri side of the state line 7 weeks out from Election Day?
It's certainly not the Senate race right now. Eric Schmidt's a prohibitive favorite in that race, and the very fact that he stiffed the Missouri Press Association on their forum last Friday was evidence that he doesn't think he needs to make a joint appearance with Trudy Bush Valentine to equalize her in terms of stature. I would say that the Missouri marijuana referendum issue is probably the most interesting one. The Kansas City police vote authorizing a change in the Constitution to let the budget cap rise to 25% is a great deal of interest in the Kansas City area, but probably not so much statewide. I look back, almost nobody's going to remember this, but Kansas Cityans voted several cycles ago to restore local control to the St. Louis Police Department. That was a statewide question, mm-hmm. and you heard almost nothing about that over here. I think the Kansas City Police constitutional amendment is probably the same way when it comes to most voters in Missouri. And I think that the fact that the courts have now ruled that the marijuana legalization question is going to be on the ballot. The polling I have seen on this, and it's not been recent, but the polling I've seen is that it's in a comfortable position. So I think that's the one that on the morning after the election day, when they're summing this up, there's going to be one line that says, and Missouri becomes the 13th, 14th state, whatever it is, to legalize recreational marijuana. That'll be the headline out of a pretty quiet Missouri midterm primary other than that.
Yeah, you're right. And it doesn't even seem like there is serious money behind any groups that are pushing back against the recreational use of marijuana in Missouri.
Now supposedly there's going to be a campaign brought up by the folks that challenged this in court. Let's see where that goes.
Well, they better start moving, Michael. I mean, geez, 7 weeks to go.
Exactly.
What are they waiting for?
Exactly.
I mean, geez, unbelievable.
They're waiting for KCMO to drop their political rates.
That's not happening, Mike. This show's doing great. We're not dropping rate for them. I promise you that much. Jeez.
I know. You still got to pay your mortgage.
Okay. Let me ask you then. Well, speaking of KCPD. The news yesterday, DOJ civil rights investigation into hiring practices, promotional practices, disciplinary practices of KCPD. Quentin Lucas has been and was out front on this yesterday. To me, this is going to be used as the latest political play for local control that has no realistic chance of going anywhere right now. But, you know, it could be a couple of years before we get anything out of this investigation, Michael. So what should people be taking out of yesterday's news on this issue?
That the Department of Justice has finally taken up the call for this. If you remember, it was not Mayor Lucas that was on the front of this. It was a collection of civil rights groups led by Gwen Grant at the Urban League that called for this two summers ago now, at least, on that. And you're right that in order to do an investigation like this correctly, it takes time. This is not the only time that the Department of Justice has come in and taken a look at the hiring practices and the policies of local police departments. And in the past, when DOJ has conducted investigation like this, it takes time. This is not something that we're going to see at the end of the year. It may be a year or even later before they file a report. Nobody needs to get their knickers all up in a knot looking for a bombshell report from DOJ about the Kansas City cops anytime in the near future.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of time for that. He's Michael Mahoney, Channel 9, KMBC. Always doing great work. Hey, Michael, thanks for being here, my friend. Appreciate the time.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Take care, buddy.
We'll do it soon. Mike Mahoney on KCMO Talk Radio.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.